The Cornerstone of Christian Science Practice by Peter V. Ross. Where are you? God is life, and life is everywhere. As Paul describes the situation, God is in you and above you and through you. In Him you live, move, and have your being. When you read about the perfect man, who is the image and reflection of the Creator, do you realize that you are reading your own biography? If you do not, you miss the point. There is no place for man, no place for you, but to abide in life. You cannot get away from life, and nothing remains for you to do but to express and manifest unconquerable life. This life knows no disease, trouble, danger, no beginning and no ending. God is life, your life. This life is in you and through you. It is ageless, diseaseless, endless. It is right where your distress seems to be, so, after all, your distress cannot be there. God is life, and man is life expressed and made individual. You can see God or life only when manifested in living creatures. You cannot see life in the abstract. God makes himself visible in the world through men and women. They furnish him the opportunity to express life. God, without man to represent him, would be a non-entity. He needs man to make himself visible. Man is life expressed. How close you are to God. Since God is life, and you are life expressed. What are you? God is perfect life and mind. You, then, are perfect animation and intelligence. Certainly, He is diseaseless, ageless, free, and unconfined. So are you. This is the basis of Christian Science practice. Thinking these thoughts is a treatment, for you cannot contemplate these stimulating facts for a moment without bringing to yourself a degree of health and peace. Such thinking heals disease, because disease is mental. The body itself is mental. Does it not tell you when it is comfortable and when it is uncomfortable? Yes, you are mental all the way through. The mind is the upper layer and the body is the lower. But both are parts of mentality, and you cannot touch one without touching the other. Your body responds to your moods and emotions. When you are happy and confident, the body is light and well-behaved. When you are worried and depressed, it tightens and hurts. Body and mind are parts of mentality. That is why a change in thought inevitably results in a change in the body. Since God is mind or spirit, man and the world are mental and spiritual. Obstructions and dangers, therefore, have only a spectral existence. Hence, safety is the unchanging condition. Thought is not localized. You may be here this instant or 1,000 miles from here. You are an intelligence. How then can you be injured, weary, discouraged, old? If you feel that way, you are deceived, mesmerized. How can you help yourself? Tell yourself, and do so frequently, that you are the temple of the living God, the place of health, strength, freedom, buoyancy, confidence. Say to yourself, I am the temple of the living God. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let this world of pain and trouble be still. I am eternal life on exhibition. I am the place where all-knowing mind is diffusing courage, wisdom, resourcefulness, keenness of vision, and soundness of judgment. I just have no capacity for failure or sickness. You are always talking to yourself, and much of the time, if not careful, you are saying what is not true. How old you are getting, how useless you are, how discouraged you feel, and how much you suffer. Every time you think or declare one of these untruths, you add to the mesmerism which is already weighing you down. You would not make another person have any of these distresses, and surely God would not. Stop telling yourself these lies. Refuse to think or argue this way, because every time you do so, you take into mentality that which will work against your welfare. The Creator has not made this dream world of weariness, sickness, depression, and you are not deceived by it. Your vision is so clear that you can look right through it and see beyond a world of health and dominion. Pour into mentality the truth about yourself. Think it and talk it. This is treatment. Say to yourself, life or God is in full and unobstructed operation in me. Therefore, let all distress be silent before Him. Amplify this statement. Keep up the talking and thinking, even when you are busy. Your work does not demand all your attention. Give your thinking intelligent direction along the lines of health and success. Stop this conversation about failure, disease, age, and so forth. Cultivate the habit of talking to yourself sensibly, and in a way you would be willing your friends to hear. Thereby will you grow in strength and manliness. All that God has is yours. He withholds no good thing. His life is your life. His intelligence is your intelligence. His bounty is your bounty. Say it, affirm it, admit it, and stop denying it, and thereby defeating your own best interests. Building a better self. This kind of talking is the prayer of a sensible man. So you can, and if wise, you will, pray without ceasing. For you never stop talking to yourself, except in those brief intervals when you talk to others. The effect of prayer is on the man who prays, not on God. And it is man, not God, who needs to be changed. this right talking and thinking will change you. It will bring you into unity with God, eternal life, where disease and suffering are unknown. It will enlarge your capacity for doing things, clarify your intellect, make you a man. As you lay hold of these truths, they will correct, little by little, whatever is deficient or out of order in your life. And in case your need is pressing, they can remedy the situation immediately. You will see why this sensible thinking and talking produces marked improvement when you recognize that you are consciousness, not corporeality. Consciousness needs an instrument with which to contact the crude world about. So consciousness evolves the body, holds it in thought, and wields it as an implement. It is yours, but not you. When consciousness is alarmed or confused, it is likely to project a shaky or sickly body. But when consciousness is clear and confident, it will produce a body normal and efficient. As you realize that life, your very own, is God, and therefore that infirmities are not true, that you are eternal life made visible in the world, and therefore that you are a man like God, or a God-like man, consciousness, thereby stimulated, will build you a better body, a better intellect, and a better business. You are an individual consciousness. You tell your body and your intelligence what to do, and they obey you. Your body serves you like an office boy doing the chores. Your intelligence, more highly equipped than the body, serves you as a secretary. But neither of them is you. You are the power of endless life. You are that life individualized. Largely, it is fear that has been freezing up your life, slowing down your energy, stultifying your ability, blinding you to opportunities, and upsetting the functions of your economy. And this fear is promoted by your supposition that you are material and therefore always in danger. Confidence will take the place of fear as you recognize that you are spiritual in structure and therefore forever safe and secure from accident and disease. When are you going to begin to think sensibly, that is, to pray effectively? A major part of prayer, after all, is desire. Fervent and continued desire shapes events. It literally objectifies the thing desired, whether it be health, raiment, job, companionship, or other legitimate longing. Who said you were not attractive? I am here to remind you that you are. The great architect who built you should be pleased with his handiwork, and he is. He always refers to you as his beloved son or daughter, as the case may be. Therefore, do not hesitate to put yourself in the way of opportunity. This is your part, and you must play it, adroitly it may be. This is the adventure, and a glorious one it is, open to every human being. Have faith. Be expectant. Argue the strong points of the case to yourself. Then will you go forth better equipped for victory. A better sense of things. But to resume the thread of our discourse, consciousness, as thought, is clarified and emboldened by this courageous conversation with yourself, will begin to see the world as it is. That is, a place of security, beauty, promise. You will begin to feel existence in its abundance and glory, instead of dread, danger, and misery. You will even begin to say to yourself, I am aware of life exuberant and irrepressible, without ache or pain, or possibility of frustration or destruction. Anxiety will be broken. Then will inflammation and growths disappear, because the function of your economy will operate unlaboredly and uninterruptedly. When apprehension has been replaced by assurance, the body will thaw out. It will behave so well that you will scarcely know that you have a body. Assimilation, circulation, elimination will seem to take care of themselves. As you reason out these facts for yourself, you will see why it is that the truth makes one free. Free from what? Why, from disaster, restriction, poverty, aches, and pains. As you argue with yourself along these lines, your vision and understanding will be quickened. The material world, with its hazards and sufferings, will recede to give place to the spiritual world, where existence is secure and satisfying. Danger and distress can no longer find you. When I say that the material world will pass away, I do not mean that the world will come to an end, but only that your mistaken sense of it as a place of heaviness and peril will fade out. Is it not clear that with a different and a better set of senses, you would see a different and a better world? Indeed, a different and a better self? When you come to recognize that you are made of intelligence instead of matter, you will recognize the impossibility of growths and other obsessions, for there is nothing in you from which to make such absurdities, and no place to put them, even were they made. Spiritual man, and such you are, roams the world unafraid and unconfined. It is a case of the wind bloweth where it pleaseth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell when it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. It is clear enough that there is one mind in this world, and that this mind directs all things and all people. This mind is in the midst of you. It penetrates every nook and corner of your being. It directs the functions of your economy, whether you call them digestion, circulation, assimilation, elimination, or whatnot. They are all under the control of omnipotent mind. They are both propelled and steadied by it. And therefore, they can neither slowly creep nor madly race. In other words, universal life, ageless and diseaseless, holds peaceful and vigorous sway throughout your entire being. Lay hold of these truths. Practice them industriously and expectantly. If you want to improve, and of course you do, you must do something about the situation. If you would gain relief from present difficulties and protect yourself against new ones, you must get busy and keep busy in the way here indicated. Good health, like good business, must be worked for. And certainly it is worth working for if anything is. And you work for it in a way that will bring results when you center your thought and your conversation with yourself on the immensities of being, the magnitudes of existence, the infinitudes of life, keeping in mind all the time that it is your life, your being, your existence that you are contemplating. Close your eyes to the littleness and the meanness of what is going on about you. Be absent from bodily existence with its risks and its susceptibilities. Identify yourself with that limitless life which has neither beginning nor ending, which has neither age nor infirmity. And as you do so, say to yourself, I am that. Away with these illusions of pain and apprehension. When you talk to yourself in this way, you set the word of God in motion, that word which is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. House of the Hereafter. Consciousness is constantly at work, repairing and reconstructing the body, so that every 12 months or so you have an entirely new outfit or place of habitation. With all this experience in reconstruction work, consciousness should build better bodies from year to year, rather than frailer or older ones. Hence it is that the house of the hereafter will be of such fine and ethereal quality that friends whom we leave behind cannot see it. They will fancy we are gone, or that we have ceased to be. But we always have been, and we always shall be. You do not remember beginning, nor does anyone else. No one begins, and no one ends, so far as we can see. Life is continuous, eternal. It was better in the past before the heaviness of materiality and mortality enveloped you. It will be better in the future as that mesmerism is broken. It was in this connection that Jesus prayed, Father, give me the glory I had with thee before the world was. The sublimest and most effective prayer you can utter is, Give me the glory I had with thee before this mesmerism of heaviness and distress and frustration settled down upon me. Mr. Ross added this note about this lecture, where he said, On September 23, 1933, I lectured at the Chicago World's Fair. 2 or 3 years later, there came into circulation typewritten reports of the lecture under the caption, "The Cornerstone of Christian Science Practice." Evidently, someone took notes of this discourse, transcribed them, and set the document afloat. I have no information just how this was done or who participated. But typewritten copies have multiplied to the extent that this lecture has gone round the world. Scarcely a week goes by that someone does not express to me his keen appreciation. Hundreds have reported definite healings from their study of the manuscript. So dynamic has been the effect of the lecture that, in presenting it here, I have not dared do more in the way of revision than to correct some of the glaring errors in English which have crept in from time to time in the course of copying. The document furnishes a striking example of the fact that the spirit of a discourse, not the words, produces the effect.